Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board as we face the issues. We always look forward to, with anticipation, your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about today what I believe to be perhaps the most seminal subject that we could speak on in the society in which we're living in today. War against truth and freedom. War against truth and freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation is in turmoil as perhaps never before. We find chaos and confusion on a serious level in every aspect of life and living in our nation today. Today, all that we know about freedom, all that we know about constitutional liberties, all that we know about truth is under assault from the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, woke culture under the Biden administration. It's a very serious fact. In fact, I'll read just a blurb of a 5-page article by Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham said, and I quote, the headline reads, Biden's speech is an attack on all freedom-loving Americans. Franklin Graham charged Friday that Joe Biden's speech to the nation on Thursday, although not carried by many of the networks, actually was a full frontal attack on freedom-loving Americans. Biden, in his partisan speech, lashed out angrily at Republicans who he claimed are trying to undermine democracy. Further, he states, tonight, President Biden said that the MAGA threatens the very foundation of our republic. Really? Question mark. I want to see America great again. I want to see America as a leader. I want to see America as a place for people who desire liberty and justice for all. I don't want to see this country turned into a socialist country. I don't want to see it fail, said Franklin Graham in his response to Joe Biden's speech. We'll look at that further in just a moment. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's called the Bible, the truth book. Back in my day, in Sunday school, we would have the song, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the truth book, ladies and gentlemen. I call it that because in John 8:31 and 32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made. Thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God that stands forever. In fact, in Psalms 117 and verse 2, says the truth of the Lord endures forever. But ladies and gentlemen, truth is not sought for today. Truth is not embraced today. Truth is viewed as something that is woefully wrong with the woke culture that we live in today. It is truth that we ought to be seeking. It was George Orwell, the secularist, that made the statement. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be factually true, if I can use the term, in today's society. I believe we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the culture in which we're living in is plummeting to the lowest level in the history of our constitutional republic. I believe it's time that we as Christians recognize the declension and recognize that we are the custodian of the Bible, which is the truth. I'm using a paraphrase of former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint's statement. When in a headline article, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And I quote Jim DeMint in this statement. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason of the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a very, very clear, concise charge, if you will, against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that as Christians, we've sat in silence too long. I believe that as churches, we have sat in ignorance too long. I believe as Christians and Christian leaders, pastors in particular, there's been silence in the pulpit about issues of moral, ethical, theological, doctrinal, political importance that's recorded in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's what I challenge Christians each and every day on this broadcast to do, is to seek the truth, and the truth is found in the truth book, the Word of God. Listen to the truth, and that won't be on MSNBC or the Communist Network News or NBC or ABC or CBS. Won't be found, generally speaking, even on Fox News. But we need to seek the truth and listen to the truth, learn the truth. There are a lot of people that will ask me a question many times off the air. Will ask the question, well, where do you get your information? I listen to the news and I don't hear it. Where do you get your information? I tune into the news and the news is not saying what you're saying. The media is not saying what you're saying. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the very core issue that we're speaking about today, is the disinformation that is a lie that's called the truth that's being believed by the majority of society, even as Christians, pastors and churches, conservatives and patriots, believing the lie. And I believe that it's time that we recognize the truth, understand the truth, and stand on the truth, that we seek the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I believe we're rapidly approaching the era that it will be a death sentence in America, as is found in so many other nations at this moment, that if you stand for truth, then you will be prosecuted, persecuted. Read an article just recently of a teacher in the UK that's now being prosecuted and facing trial with the potentiality of a 5-year sentence in prison because, as a Christian teacher, he refused to use the woke culture pronouns for male and female students. He said, as a Christian, he could not do that. Therefore, he was fired from his teaching job. He's being tried in a court of law for refusing to do that. That's what we're talking about, standing for truth and defending the truth even to death. And we're on the fast track for that in our great nation today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment with the homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff They can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Times knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. Perhaps you say, well, how can I find 11291 Old St. Augustine Road? Very good question. There's a 165-foot flagpole with the flag Old Glory flying 24/7. Ladies and gentlemen, find that flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the full staff of Tools for Time to be in the house of God, worshiping God on God's day as God intended and directed it in His Word. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an invitation to interview, and see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about war against truth and freedom. I am reading further from an article headline: Franklin Graham says Biden's speech is an attack on all freedom-loving Americans. Further, he says in this article by Franklin Graham, does believing in freedom, justice, opportunity, less taxes, and smaller government make me an extremist? Absolutely not, Franklin Graham said. The ones who are extremists are the ones who want to take that freedom away from us. Ronald Reagan campaigned to make America great again. Does that make him an extremist? President Biden is trying to vilify, hear me, ladies and gentlemen, it's coming from Franklin Graham. By the way, I'm thankful for his open dialogue and discussion about issues. His dad, Billy Graham, was a great man, had the responsibility and the privilege of leading millions of people around the globe to faith in Jesus Christ. Not detracting from that at all. But I'm thankful to see Franklin Graham his willingness to stand and speak truth in relationship to the lie and the deception and the disintegration that's taking place in our nation today at the hands of the Biden administration. He says, and I quote, the ones who are extremists are the ones who want to take that freedom away from us. Ronald Reagan campaigned to make America great again. Does that make him an extremist? Further, he says, Joe Biden, President Biden, is trying to vilify and demean Christians, conservatives, freedom-loving Americans who do not support the failing, falling, economically unsound policies of the Biden administration. Ultimately, Franklin Graham says, America can only have true greatness through God. The blessings of this nation have come from the hand of God. We need to turn to Him. We need His help. We need His direction. We need His healing, Franklin Graham said. And then he quotes Tucker Carlson in his monologue. Tucker Carlson's monologue says this: the threat is not coming from barefoot religious extremists in caves. It's not coming from the Chinese government. It's not Vladimir Putin himself, the most evil man in history. No, this threat is worse and homegrown. The single gravest threat to America today is Republican voters, Tucker Carlson said, all 75 million of them. They are Nazis and destroyers of democracy. That's the message Joe Biden's speech rendered. Literally, ladies and gentlemen, let me back in to the reading of this article. Joe Biden said that the threat is not coming from the barefoot religious extremists in caves. It's not the Chinese government. It's not Vladimir Putin, the most evil man in history, Vladimir Putin is referring to. No, this threat is worse and homegrown. I'm reading you the words of the speech from Joe Biden. The single gravest threat to America today is the Republican voters, all 75 million of them. They are Nazis, destroyers of democracy, end quote. Tucker Carlson continued then, what Joe Biden is saying right now is the official position of the entire executive branch of the U.S. government. That includes the Justice Department, intel agencies, and the world's most powerful military standing. Think about it. Does that make you nervous? He warned, this is in the article, by the way, continuing from Franklin Graham. He warned, you don't have to be a Trump voter to see a speech like this as a turning point in all of American history. Joe Biden is calling for a one-party state. Biden called out Trump by name and berated those who support him. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represented extremism that threatens the foundation of our republic, Biden claimed. In fact, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican of Georgia, said this. It was perhaps the most blunt statement about Biden's speech. She said, Nazi Joe has to go, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're facing the war against truth and freedom. Now, you can couch it any way you like. You can slice it and dice it any way you please. But the bottom line is we're watching the threat, the war against freedom and truth in America. And the lead soldier in that battle is Joe Biden. And the Biden administration, the Biden cabal that's in office today, and they are in office illegally, and they are destroying the constitutional republic called the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that all ethics, morals, and values, and faith are being undermined at an alarming rate in our once great nation. May I say to you today, ladies and gentlemen, multitudes of Christians and churches and even pastors appear to be silent on the subject of the war against truth and freedom. Most pastors, and if you're listening today, I'm speaking to you, most pastors today need to grow a spiritual spine and stand up and speak up. There needs to be a spine in American Christians and pastors in particular, as was found in the Apostle Paul, as was found in Simon Peter, where Peter says we ought to obey God and not man. The spine that I call it the Daniel spine needs to be found in pastors today that's willing to stand as Daniel did in the 6th chapter of Daniel. When the king had signed an order that no man could pray to any god except for the king for 30 days, Daniel wrung his hands and he wept and he cried and he screamed out for an attorney that he was going to file suit against the government. No, he didn't. Daniel went directly to his room with the windows being open toward Jerusalem. The scripture says, the 6th chapter of Daniel, the 10th verse, and he prayed to God as he had aforetime. Ladies and gentlemen, Daniel took the position that you can take my life if you please. You can sign a law that's going to try to demean and destroy the truth and the freedom in the nation. But I'm not going to adhere to it. I'm not going to bow to it. I'm going to stand in defiance of it because of my relationship to God. That's what Daniel did. But ladies and gentlemen, we have pastors today, Christians today, conservatives today that are silent, not even aware that we're in a national declension that's going to destroy our constitutional republic. Just recently, Joe Biden delivered that speech, and in that speech, it was an open attack on anything that's called freedom and every freedom-loving America in our nation today. Should Christians and conservatives and patriots today be concerned? I think so. In fact, I'm looking at one article that says, top former Time magazine writer says Biden's people are the fascists, not the conservatives, not the Republicans, but the Biden family, if you will, the Biden cabal are the fascists. This article says, don't forget that both Hitler and Mussolini began as socialists. Biden's speech actually had it all backwards. If they are fascist in America today, they are apt to be found among the tribes of the left. There are Mr. Biden and his people, including the lion's share of the media, whose opinions have since January the 6th, 2021, hardened into absolute faith, and that any party or political belief system except their own is then fully illegitimate, impermissible, inhumane, monstrous, and a threat to democracy, end quote. Essentially, the left has embraced the Italian fascist dictator, Benito Mussolini, and his formula that said, all within the state, nothing outside the state, nothing against the state. Or to apply it to what is happening today, he continued, against the Democratic Party, which requires total conformity to its orthodoxy, to its diversity, or else open borders, mandatory drug shows, and all such theater of gender dysphoria. This article reads further. Meantime, their man in the White House invokes emergency powers to forgive student debts. Their thinkers wonder whether the Constitution and the separation of powers are all that they're cracked up to be. People forget, if they have ever known it, that both Hitler and Mussolini began as socialists. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we see, what we're seeing today, as we're on the fast track toward total implosion of our constitutional republic. We're talking about war against truth and freedom. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question and comment, please.
These things come with leftist Democrat one-party rule. Understand, when the Democrats are in the minority, they pound the table for the benefits and the rights of the minority. And we do have a constitutional republic that protects the rights of the minority. Literally, we weren't formed as a democracy, a majority rule or a mob rule system. We literally establish protections and checks and balances that preserve and protect the rights of the minority. So when Democrats, again, are in the minority, they pound the table and they're all about the rights of the minority. However, when they take the majority, they squash what they perceive as the minority. They squash what they perceive are their perceived political foes. And they're willing to strike down things like the filibuster rule in the Senate that requires 60 votes for cloture in order to bring a full vote on the measure. You have to literally you have to have 60 votes before you can have a simple minority or simple majority 50 plus one vote. You understand the process there? That's how the filibuster rule works in the Senate. But these folks have invaded every agency of government, and they've used those agencies to conduct political actions. Obviously, we're seeing that with the Department of Justice and the FBI now. We've seen it for decades with the CIA. We saw it with the IRS under Lois Lerner and Barack Hussein Obama. We're going to see it again in spades, you know, by an exponential factor with 57,000 new agents. We're seeing it today on social media platforms led by the request of agencies within the government. We saw that with Twitter and then kicking Donald Trump off. I reviewed a video this morning with Jordan Peterson that has now been kicked off of Twitter, and he went on discussing directly – it's an open monologue directed at the president of Twitter today. And he goes through a nearly exhaustive analysis of Twitter and its trampling, if you will, of his rights. Now, he says you have this right as a private company, and I kind of disagree with that, because when you kick Jordan Peterson off that has millions of folks following him, you've done damage to the brand of Twitter. because, you know, those followers, those people listening and watching are profitable to the Twitter brand. And Twitter's board of directors is supposed to act in the best interest of the stockholders. So that's one violation. Number two, Twitter's been told, as Facebook, they've been told by different agencies of government, well, let this through and don't let this through. It's the nudging from government. Well, government can't do these things. Government can't censor speech. That's what the First Amendment is all about. They can't censor religion. They can't censor speech right on down the list. They can't censor the free press. But they're doing it. So you have at least two different provisions that make that wrong. And, you know, also Section 230 within U.S. Code gives a modicum of protection for these social media platforms, but it's on the basis that they're kind of neutral platforms, that they're going to let everything go, that they don't have the ability to censor or to editorialize, therefore they can't be held liable for the things that hit the platform. Do you understand? Well, that Section 230 should disappear because they have shown not only their willingness or their ability, but also their willingness to censor and to edit content. These people are absolutely within moments, oftentimes punished by the platforms. Today I counted. I'm up to 54 counts. I'm up to 54 different times that they have punished me or reviewed my content on Facebook to the point that they sent me a notice saying that, hey, you've made another mistake. Hey, you've made an – and it's so large, when I take a screenshot of it and then try to post the screenshot on Facebook to show my credentials, they won't allow me to post it. Do you hear me? They will not allow me to show everyone how many times I've been punished on Facebook. Now, that's a platform supposed to be neutral, right? They're not neutral. These folks are in cahoots, and they literally will strike down anything that does not agree with them politically or socially or religiously, however it strikes against their sense of what right and wrong are. They will censor you. They will strike you down. So you're right on, but these folks work in cahoots with one another.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we have on the air with us today Greg Youngblood, one of our four sons. I'm always thankful to have any one of our boys on the air with me. It's a delight and a joy, an encouragement and a challenge as I hear them articulate some of the truths that I believe are so vital for society to know, understand, embrace, grasp, and put into effect. Greg, thank you so much. I want to read you just a blurb, and you touched on it. I'm looking at a half dozen articles at least on my desk. It's about FBI and the Facebook fiasco. This article's headline, it was the FBI, not social media, that stole the election. This is the essence of the article. There seems to be a little question, although Democrats consistently deny the facts, that Mark Zuckerberg's $420 million handed out the left to the leftist election officials to recruit Democrat voters influence the 2020 presidential election. We also know states routinely violated their own state laws regarding the ballots. And a recent poll confirms that 8 out of 10 Americans believe the fact that they, because the legacy and social media suppressed the very negative, but to accurate information about Biden's family international business schemes, when they shut down the reporting about Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop computer and its details, the election was skewed from Donald Trump. They used the term skewed, was stolen from Donald Trump by Joe Biden. And it goes on to talk about how big tech, through Zuckerberg, had a conference with FBI, and the FBI literally told him to start censoring anything in relationship to the Hunter Biden laptop, censoring anything that they felt, i.e. the FBI, ought not to be broadcast or published. We got about a minute before the top of the hour news break, Greg. Take that minute and just touch on that very briefly, and after the news break, we'll come back and pick up the loose ends on this subject, because it's vital. It is part and parcel of what we're talking about with the war against truth and freedom.
When Donald Trump called out the FBI for their unlawful investigation, they're spying on him in Trump Tower, they're spying on his campaign. Chuck Schumer went on national TV and said these intelligence agencies have seven ways to Sunday to get back at you. And that's exactly what's transpiring today. They're using the power, they're using the accoutrements of public office to go after their perceived political foes. It is,
yes,
it is absolutely egregious and should not be, Greg, taking place. We're paying.
Greg, hold your thought there. And right after the top of our news, ladies and gentlemen, we'll continue our thought today on the war against truth and freedom.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.